Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, account number.
Welcome to the Trash Talk Show. Before we get to this week's episode, we're going to chat briefly with your host, Barb Tobias. Barb, what can listeners expect, and can you tell them what your show's about?
Oh, absolutely, Jennifer. Thank you. We are the Trash Talk Show, and what that means is we are women turning trash in our lives into treasure. And what most people don't realize is that we've all had trash in our lives, and it's not whether we have, it's what we do with it, and whether we pick up our bootstraps and we forge on into our life.
Barb, that sounds very exciting, and I know we have a wonderful guest waiting, so let's get started.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Trash Talk Show. I'm Barb Tobias, America's Thrift Talk Diva, and today we're going to be talking about turning the trash in your life into treasure. And we have a wonderful guest to help us do that. Her name is Antoinette Klinkerman, and she is a counselor on etiquette. How do you like that one? So many of us go through our lives And we think in terms of etiquette, with the family or sending thank you notes to friends and that type of thing. But Antoinette takes it one step further. She moves us into etiquette in the workplace. So, Antoinette, welcome.
Thank you, Barb. I am so thrilled to be on your show today.
Well, you're welcome. And I'll tell you what, I don't think anyone could be more thrilled than me because, you know, we all need that little extra bit of coaching in terms of etiquette and really how far it can take us in life.
Oh, it's so true, and you actually don't need any brush-up in courtesy, but a lot of the rest of the world does.
Well, thank you for those kudos, and we're going to get into the meat of that and exactly what it is you do. But I'm curious, Antoinette, although I've known you here peripherally in the city and run into you at different events and speaking engagements, my curiosity is, where are you from and how did you start?
Well, I am originally from San Diego, so I am one of those dreaded California transplants, and I am not responsible for the traffic mess. I will just have people know that right now. But I grew up in San Diego, and I moved to Colorado in the year 2000 and have been here ever since. My husband actually is a Littleton native and was out there in San Diego, and just the job situation back in the year 2000 was not a preferable one, so mm-hmm. we ended up moving here and having everything just ready to go, which was nice, a house and jobs and family, and it was a really nice move. So I, when I was a kid, went to a private school in San Diego, and there was an etiquette class that every sixth grader, it was sort of an unspoken thing, everybody knew that you were going to be going to see Mr. Benjamin when you were in sixth grade. And so we all ended up with Mr. Benjamin, who basically terrified us into courtesy.
Really?
He did.
Really?
He was,
was he like
person.
A drill sergeant?
No, actually he wasn't. He was just, when you're in, you know, when you're in sixth grade, you're not on the real tall side, and he had to have been at least 6'5", and
wow,
just kind of that Ichabod Crane persona. And he just terrified us all, but we learned how to do the buck step, and we learned how to have a conversation while dancing, and that was my introduction to cotillion, or to an etiquette school.
Well,
and
you know, very honestly, how lucky were you?
Very.
You know, as a sixth grader, you probably went, oh my gosh, and rolled your eyes and, you know, did mm-hmm. the whole sixth grader routine, but as we look at it, as we move on in life, you were really very fortunate to have that.
I consider myself very fortunate, and that actually is how my business was born, is when I did move here and I started talking to the middle school students that I was teaching at the time. They'd never heard of such a thing. Cotillion? What's that? They'd say. And so I started teaching etiquette classes at the end of the school year because, you know, that last week of school, everybody is fried. They're just done. And so I started teaching etiquette lessons because I thought, if nothing else, I'm going to send them out into summer as civilized human beings. And the kids had a blast.
Instead of those little monsters that they are.
Exactly. So they had so much fun that I started doing my homework and looking around and seeing, is there anything like this? And there really is, all from what I can tell, only one other school that actually does protocol in Denver. And as I started brainstorming and thinking, well, you know, not many of us are going to state dinners anytime soon, so I'm really not so concerned with which fork we're supposed to use, but I am concerned with turning off your cell phone before you place your order at a coffee counter, because that kind of common courtesy is what's slipping thanks to us being just overly connected all the time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's back up. So mm-hmm. then where did you go to school?
I went to school in San Diego. I went to a school called Francis Parker. It's been around. Actually, it's celebrating its 100th year in operation this year.
Wow.
And
are you going back for some kind of reunion, or are they doing?
Yes. I go every 5 years. There's a reunion for each graduating class because, you know, it was a small school, so my graduating class had 51 kids in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I had you beat. I had 62.
Oh, there you go. See, my school is even smaller. Oh, my goodness. But, yes, we go back every 5 years. I graduated, I hate to say it, but in 1986, and so we go back and celebrate. I just went to my 25th year reunion a couple years back, and we are still a very tight-knit group, which is nice when you have a class that small.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm not going to even tell you what reunion mine is, so we're not going to go there. And since I'm the host of the show, see, I can do that.
You're entitled. You are perfectly entitled.
Oh, that's too funny. Okay, so then now my next question is, because this is kind of about you,
mm-hmm.
Is you grew up in San Diego, but your husband grew up here. How did you meet him out there?
Well, we were both in the teaching profession, and at the time, there was a little county outside of San Diego, about 22 miles outside of San Diego, inland, and you wouldn't think of it as being what it was, but it is. You know, it's not part of the tourist chain there in San Diego. But he was teaching out there, in a roundabout way, he lived in Spain for a while, and then he moved to Seattle. So he wanted the polar opposite climate of, I guess, what he experienced in Spain, and Seattle was it. So I guess rain 360
days
a year. And he ended up in San Diego, and in a very odd chain of events, I was a substitute teacher, and I ended up substituting for him. And I thought, wow, there's something about this guy here. And then I was assigned to his school for 6 weeks. And the very last day of my assignment happened to be Valentine's Day. And so he came around and asked me to be his Valentine.
How romantic. Oh.
I know. And I was like, aw. Everybody go, aw.
Very good. Interesting.
Yeah, so he's still a teacher, and so am I. I actually teach at a night high school for at-risk teens here in Douglas County, Colorado.
Wow, interesting. And so, oh my gosh, you know, your etiquette could really help there in just getting these young kids more acclimated to the business world, the mm-hmm. social world, in terms of what they'll experience as they get older.
Yes, and I do. I throw in lessons every chance I get because I tell them, and I'll tell anybody, I don't care how many little letters you have after your name, by the time it's all said and done, is your class and your display of common courtesy is what's going to get you farther.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said I'm so excited to have you on the show today, and we're going to hear more about that, you know, after our break. But backing up again, where did you get your teaching degree?
Oh, I've got it from, it's called Point Loma Nazarene College in San Diego, and they are predominantly known for nursing and teaching, and they've been around a good 75 years, I believe, out there in Point Loma, California, and I studied teaching for, I think it took me 2 years. They actually require more in class time as a student teacher than any other college I've heard of. So I spent a lot of time student teaching. Yes.
That's interesting because I was also educated as a teacher. And,
oh, yes.
Yeah. And I think my student teaching was one semester.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was, you know, just mm-hmm. such a short amount of time. And but, you know, I guess it worked out. But, you know, could we have used more practice? You know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, look at people that go into practice,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what it is for the first 5 years.
Oh, sure. Well, I know, honestly, Barb, you know as well as I do that absolutely no amount of practice could prepare you for what you encounter in a classroom on a daily basis.
Isn't that
no way.
The truth?
There's no way. So, yeah, so I got that in 1994, and then I went back into corporate for a little while because I had always wanted to be, you know, Darren Stevens on Bewitched, working at an ad agency. What a cool job to use words to convince people to buy things that they don't really need. How fabulous. So I went back into the corporate world, and I just thought, you know, being on the administrative assistant end of it, not really – creating the ads, I thought, this is really not that rewarding for me. I would like to go back into the teaching. So I got back into education and ended up meeting my husband there about 3 years later.
Wow. So that's really interesting, you know, your view of the corporate world, and particularly, you know, the ad business, which is not only very demanding,
mm-hmm.
But so pressure-ridden, deadlines and, you know, and all of those things, and trying to please, you know, clients that, oh, my gosh, I can totally relate to, you know, to what you mean. But I'm sure it gave you some great framework to base your, you know, the rest of your life on, your job, even teaching.
Oh, you know, Barb, it really did. That's what I found was the, you know, the color coding files, that was just not my thing at all. But talking to the salespeople who were out in the field, having those human interactions, that I found really clicked. I just thought, I want to work with people. I really want to work with people. I don't want to push paper around my desk all day long. I want to be in the midst of people and in the thick of things that they do on a daily basis. And so it was back into the teaching world where I was a substitute teacher for about 2 years, and then I landed a full-time position at this middle school in California, and it was just, I mean, I'm smiling and I'm almost about to laugh because what they did was they needed a warm body in the classroom.
Oh, no.
And they had me teaching subjects that I had no right to be teaching because there was such a crisis of having teachers. And so they assigned me a science class, and I thought, are you kidding me? But one of my science students went ahead and won an award in the county science fair that year anyway. So I thought, I must be doing something right, but I definitely have no business teaching science.
Well, you know something, that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of thrown into the same thing where I was teaching. Well, for example, I taught English literature. I never took a course in English literature. And, you know, Chaucer and Beowulf and all that wonderful stuff. Okay,
mm-hmm.
then. So it's one of those things where you're reading the night before so you can teach it the next day.
That was me with science. So you know.
Exactly. So I can totally relate, Antoinette.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's what we have to do because I'm excited to get into the next part. We have to take a short break.
All right.
And we will be back with Antoinette Klingerman. She is a coach on etiquette in the workplace, in the home, and also in the social environment. And I, for one, am excited to hear what she has to say. So stay tuned. We will be right back at the Trash Talk Show.
Barb Tobias's award-winning book, Tossed and Found, offers the reader an entertaining facelift to the tattered world of thrift. Barb shares her uncanny insights on living a frugal life, drawn from her personal experiences as a struggling single mother and aspiring model, and chronicles her journey toward becoming America's thrift talk diva. Although her humorous stories are filled with epiphanies and joy, she provides proven, practical steps to inspire others to lead fulfilling lives and create beautiful homes by igniting the resourcefulness within. An admitted thriftaholic, Barb Tobias is a master at reconstructing the shattered, creating beauty from the marred, and repurposing life's cast-offs to create greener and more gratifying environments. Barb works with people by phone, email, one-on-one, or in speaking engagements to stimulate their creativity and create the home or life they have always wanted. To contact Barb Tobias or purchase her tell-all book, Tossed and Found, visit www.thrifttalkdiva.com or call 877-711-DIVA.
Good afternoon. I'm Barb Tobias, America's Thrift Talk Diva, and you are listening to the Trash Talk Show. If you stay tuned to the top of the show, we have Antoinette Klingerman with us. She is a coach for etiquette, etiquette in the workplace, etiquette in the home, and just being kind and gracious to one another. Antoinette, welcome back.
Thank you, Barb. I'm glad to be back.
Well, we had a pretty fun discussion, your early life and leading up to what you do now. So I want to really get into the meat of this etiquette thing and why it's important and what you're doing with it now. So can you enlighten us a little bit in terms of why etiquette is so doggone important in this day and age?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I just was so thrilled talking to you and finding that we have that common ground of the education in our backgrounds there.
Yeah.
But as I had mentioned, I started teaching these etiquette lessons at the end of the school year because I know so many teachers and the kids are tired and you don't really want to do anything other than put a video in and call it a done deal.
Yes.
And I just said, I can't do that. I want to do something a little bit more meaningful before they go scampering off into the summertime. And so I started teaching these etiquette lessons where I would do things like have them practice who goes through a doorway first. So I'd take masking tape and I'd tape it off on the floor and I'd have them practice. And they loved it. So I started thinking, there might be something here. If these kids aren't being sent to cotillion like I was in sixth grade, if it's just kind of one of those things that gets put on the back burner or it's reserved for people with a lot of wealth to throw around, that's not right. I think there's a common ground in learning to practice common courtesy that people are missing. And I think when people hear the word etiquette, they get very nervous. They think, oh, no, they're going to ask me, you know, that number 19 fork, what does that go with? I don't know. And they get
right,
very nervous.
Right, or who was it, Amy Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and so people just think, oh, no. You know, they think of that, you know, that scene out of Pretty Woman where the maitre d' is going over the silverware with Julia Roberts.
Is that a classic?
I love that scene, but that's not what we do anymore. We are in such a high-speed technology that if you go to a restaurant anytime soon, I want you to notice that if they set the table for you before you sit down, that spoons aren't even being included anymore. Because they
do. You know, I didn't notice that.
Do take a look around, because a lot of times the spoons get left unused, and so, of course, the restaurant's thinking, why waste the water cleaning these things if no one's going to use them anymore, so let's just not put them on the table.
Oh,
so we are down to a knife and a fork.
Pretty soon with our hands.
And pretty soon, because that's faster.
Yep.
So the etiquette, I started poking around looking for etiquette, and so I went into, I think it was Borders when it was still around, and I started searching for courtesy and manners and etiquette, and I found 7-foot-high shelves, at least 2 aisles long, worth of wedding etiquette books.
Oh, my gosh.
And I thought, wait a second. And then I found the common courtesy, the daily etiquette section, and it was maybe a foot wide.
Huh.
And I said, that can't be right. You can't just be on your best behavior on your wedding day, although you should be. You cannot just practice it this one day and then the rest of the year you forget about it.
Well, it becomes a habit, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Good
mm-hmm.
etiquette.
It does. It does. And just, I tell people, you need to display the kind of courtesy you wish to receive. That's the way that works. Put out
yeah.
the good vibes and you're going to get them back.
Right.
And the best way you're going to teach other people, because we can't get everybody, is by modeling the kind of behavior you wish to receive. So when I turn off my cell phone, let's say I'm at a coffee place, and I say, I'm about to place my order, let me call you back, and I hang up, the baristas are shocked, absolutely shocked that somebody would take a moment to hang up the phone and actually interact with them as a human being.
Huh.
And
wow.
I say, well, you're a human being. You're not beneath me. This is not a caste system.
Right, right.
You're a human being, and hi, how's your day going? And they just cannot believe it. But there's no excuse. Nobody is that busy that they can't practice that kind of common courtesy on a daily basis.
We do tend to forget, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Wow.
So I'm here to bring that back and just remind people that, hey, as heartbreaking as this is going to be for you to take, it's not all about you all the time.
Yeah.
And it's about those other people. And Maya Angelou, one of my favorite authors, said, people will forget what you said and they'll forget what you did, but they will never forget the way you made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true.
Yes. Wow. So you are a coach, but you actually take it one step further, because I've been at events with you, Antoinette.
Yes, I'm so glad.
And you wear this darling little, kind of fatigue outfit, and you've got a whistle hanging around your neck, and you've got this baseball cap on, although it does have studded diamonds in it.
Oh, yeah.
And you are kind of like this boot camp coach.
Yes. I decided that boot camp formats of everything were so popular 3.5 years ago when I started this. I had a friend who had, you know, a fitness boot camp, and somebody else says, you know, it's a marketing boot camp, and it's boot camp this and boot camp that. And I thought, well, why not an etiquette boot camp? And
sure.
Then I took it one step further, and I thought, why not a mobile etiquette boot camp, where I just give you a crash course in courtesy, as I call it, because we don't need all the drills about which fork goes with what. We just need reminders that your cell phone needs to be off during a meeting, or that if there's an office kitchen situation that you make a mess, you clean up after yourself. I know it's not rocket science. It's just a brush up in courtesy. And so I started thinking, well, what else? This makes me laugh, and it makes people nervous, but if you make them laugh, they'll get over their nerves about practicing what they think they were all born with. And so I came up with this costume idea, and I just amused myself no end putting it together.
Well, it is darling.
It
looks wonderful on you, and not too many people could pull it off without the intimidation factor, but you do.
Yes. Pink is, it's a relaxing color. You know that.
Sure,
and
yeah.
People are feeling like, well, okay, that's not really threatening. I mean, how threatening can a woman be who's wearing baby pink combat boots? But they get really surprised when I get on them and tell them, if your cell phone rings while I am talking, you are going to owe me 5 push-ups.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they
now,
respond
okay, so
to the
how
costume.
Many times have you really done that?
Oh, gosh. I've done it maybe 6 or 7 times.
Where they've really done the push-ups.
Oh, they've really done them. Yes, they have. I said, I'm not
You
kidding.
Are brutal.
I said, I may look cute and cuddly, but I'm not.
Do you tell them that beforehand?
I do. I say, you know, it's a boot camp. It is a drill, and I am going to drill you back into civility, so help me.
Oh, how
so
cute.
Yeah, the best one I had doing push-ups, though, was a Boulder Town councilman.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. He his phone went off, and so I said, give me 5, and he got on the floor, because, of course, the rest of the audience always goes crazy because they want to see one of their colleagues get
in
trouble.
Oh, absolutely.
So he's on the floor, and he's sassing me from the floor, and I said, well, you're down there. Give me 5 more if you're going to keep it up.
How cute. Well, I've also heard your whistle go off.
Oh, yeah.
And that is when somebody is talking too long.
Oh, yes. Well, that 30-second commercial, you know, Barb, when you're out there in the networking world and you're the 30 seconds is very clearly up and that same person is still prattling on and on.
Oh, yes.
At that point, yes, they're losing sales at that point.
Yes.
Because the average human being can only listen for about 20 seconds before they start thinking about something else.
Sure.
And so if you're prattling on for 2 minutes, you've lost everybody.
Yes.
So I tell people, 30 seconds, and if I blow the whistle on you, you're going to owe me more push-ups. So
yeah,
people
well,
are
boy, I'll tell you
terrified.
What, when you're around, I'm keeping mine to 30 seconds.
Good. No, good, because really you're supposed to be, everybody goes to a networking event to tell their story, not necessarily to listen to yours.
Yes.
So you want to make sure that you leave them hanging and wanting to come up and talk to you, not doing that. What do they call it? It's a disgusting term, but, you know, basically throwing up on the person all the information you're trying to get in 30
right.
seconds.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and Very honestly, it is appreciated, you know, from the audience point of view, even though it might be, you know, a little intimidating. But I'll tell you what, it makes a point, and it gets a point across. And folks, you know, let's get this elevator pitch down, do some practicing. And that's what I do. I help people in their speaking. And even if they're not speakers, something as simple as an elevator pitch that is compelling, interesting, exciting, and done in 30 seconds.
Exactly. People appreciate that. And I get people coming up to me after these meetings all the time saying, I love that. Could you please come to such and so meeting because we need your help.
Right.
But it's just, it's the common courtesy. Again, it's don't use up everybody's time. And
yes.
I know that happens a lot when we do some table talks and things. We always run out of time because there's one person who takes more than their share. And that, again, is just common courtesy. Do not take more than your share.
Right. Well, I do have a question, and unfortunately, oh my gosh, I mean, we could go on forever.
Yes,
I have so many questions, but I do have one question about that, and that is what happens, and this has happened to me, and this is why I'm asking it, when, you know, you take your, let's say, your minute at the table, they usually give you a little more time, but then people at the table start asking you questions.
Yes, that's a hard one because we all want to answer them right away. And that's when you have to, you know, hold up the international symbol of wait a moment, which is your index finger.
Right.
And just tell people, I will answer any questions later. I do not want to cut into other people's time. And that way you're sort of getting a hint in there that it's not about you right now. It's about everybody else at the table, too.
Right. Very good. So Antoinette, unfortunately, we have to close the show, but you better believe I'm having you back.
Well, I love that. Oh, Barb, I know I'm having just a delightful time talking with you.
Yes, it is. Well, what an amazing topic. So let's leave the listeners with one or two really key points. And I know you mentioned the cell phone earlier, but just basically one or two things that they could take with them and hold today.
Oh, absolutely. All right. I would say back to the networking events, this is my favorite tip, is to make sure that if you're wearing a name tag of some kind, that it is worn on your right shoulder. And why is that? Because you shake hands with your right hand, and you're allowing the person to sort of look up your arm as they're aiming for your hand. They can look up at your arm, read your name tag, read your face, and then over to your company. That's why a lot of company polos have the name of the company on the left-hand side, because your name tag is supposed to go on the right. People read books from left to right, so you're helping them read you like a book from left to right.
Oh, my God. You know, I always knew you were supposed to put it on the right, but I never knew why. Oh, that's a great tip. Thanks for that. Do you have one more you can share with us?
I absolutely do. I would have to say that everyone who's thinking, oh, dear, what am I going to do next, you really are capable of better behavior, and it's just two key words. Slow down.
Oh.
Slow down during the day and really look people in the eyes. That's my favorite one because you can see so much going on in that person's face that when you're looking them in the eyes instead of looking down at your little technology that you're otherwise missing. And people really appreciate that when you look them in the eyes. So make a point of looking somebody in the eyes today, and when you ask them how your day is going and they say, okay, really respond to that with a, well, I hope it gets better, because then they're really surprised that you're actually listening. People are so used to being treated like a number or some type of tag during the day that just that little bit of human reaction and interaction is going to just lift somebody's spirits.
Oh, wow. And that is so important, you know, looking in the eyes, making that contact, being genuine and authentic. And it doesn't take much but more than a second or two.
Exactly.
So that is wonderful. Antoinette, you are a delight, an absolute delight, and I'm so glad that you took the time to be on the show. Unfortunately, we're at the bottom of the hour, and we do have to go. Promise me you'll come back.
Absolutely. Well, the pleasure was mine. Absolutely, the pleasure was mine. So I would be delighted to come back again, Barb.
You got it. I'm Barb Tobias, America's Thrift Talk Diva, and you have just listened to the Trash Talk Show with Antoinette Klingerman.